gotta ask me about it on air.
Let me see. Oh, there she is.
Okay, we are here. This is Here for the Hang. I have my lovely guest with me today, Mr. Connor Malbouf, everybody.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Welcome. I was going to butcher his
name
no matter what. Thank you for being here, Connor. I miss you. The last time I saw you was before this pandemic, and we were doing stand-up comedy whenever that was a thing. Way back in the day when that was allowed.
I was like, when's the last time I saw Carla? I was like, I was in the car with Nikki to the improv. That was it.
Yes. Irvine Improv, baby.
Yeah.
That was probably 2 years ago now. God,
a year and a half.
This has already been a year. Yeah, because it was like one of my last stand-up sets before all this happened. How about you? Are you getting up during this time anywhere? Are you doing any shows outdoors? No,
you know, when COVID first kind of happened last year, this time of the year, people were doing those online shows and like trying to do, you know, shows at like baseball diamonds and stuff.
It's
and I was
so
just
tough.
Like, I made an executive decision at that point. Like, I'm just not going to do it. And I'll like kind of shift my effort into other things. Cause
the
only reason I started to like stand up and do stand up was because I liked the live aspect. So
yes.
I'm not just going to go to like test out my writing to a screen. It's just, that's not me.
Strange situation. Yeah. Performing for car honks. It's just not the same. And we don't want to risk our lives and like, you know, endanger others. There's that whole aspect as well. But
there's some pretty cool stand up shows. Like there were a few at like the Tribeca put on like the Rose Bowl. Those were cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that probably came up, yeah, maybe I would do it. But all of those online like shows just looked, and then I would watch them. I'm like, these are real bad.
I've done them. Like, and it's horrible. And they live online.
I think I did one, and I was like, this is awful.
I think they're searchable on YouTube. So I'm like, oh no, please don't seek those out, you guys. So this was supposed to be on YouTube actually. And then I had to tell Connor that we're only doing audio today since I'm looking a little more Mississippi than usual and he's not going to judge me. Connor, what do you think about this smile? Describe it to people.
It's very hillbilly elegy.
What is happening? I've lost the veneer. I don't think I've talked about this on the podcast.
Where did it go?
It just
fell out. Yeah, she has no tooth.
I have no tooth. There's a baby tooth underneath. It's like a nub. And
does look sharp, eh? It's very sharp.
He's sharp. He's brown. You know, he's been locked up for a long time. He's been underneath these veneers. So, like, my joke is he's one of the Central Park Five that's just come out, you know, after a long stint in the clinker. Like, he's a different color than the rest. The reason
why
I have
like
veneers.
It's like a sharp tooth.
It's not good. The reason why I have veneers, Connor, it's complete vanity. As you know, everybody in Hollywood has veneers. And somebody talked to me. You have beautiful teeth, though. You don't need them.
But
Connor
Malbouf,
go to his Instagram right now and look at this beautiful smile. Wait, did you have braces?
It hasn't got me anywhere. So, feel free to let me know. But, I had braces for like 3 years. So that's why.
Okay, well, I had braces all growing up, but my teeth were these different, like, shapes. Like, I would say they were more, like, round than square. So even though they were straight, it just read kind of weird on camera. And all it took was one fucking casting director, Connor, one casting director to tell me that I'm only ever going to play, you know, the girl from the wrong side of the tracks, mm-hmm. I think she said. And I was like, yep, that's it. Fixing my teeth. Meanwhile, I think she was probably trying to tell me to lose my southern accent, but that would have been probably
which cheaper. we love that.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to lose that? But now, cut to what about now? Can I play somebody? Am I leading lady material now? I mean, I've ruined
you
my
are,
mouth forever.
I'm just trying to figure out what network would grab you. I don't know if it's TLC. It's one of those. I think that tooth is desirable there.
If TLC wants to follow me around with this saga that these veneers have been for the last 10 years, if anybody's thinking of getting them, do not do it. It is just...
what happens? They take out your tooth and then they put on another tooth?
They file down your original teeth, okay? So your original smile would be gone. It's never to be had again. And that's what makes me sad. So then you have these like nub teeth that they glue the veneers on. I mean, there's no other way to describe it.
How you say nub? Like those little like Twizzler nibs. Like the little nibs. That's what your tooth is.
That's what I got going on here. And so you have to wear these special retainers at night that are basically like a mouthpiece that like a football player wears. And I couldn't sleep in it. So I grind my teeth at night. So they're, you know, they break. They have like little micro chasms. And then all of a sudden one day I bite into something and boom, just falls out.
So do you have to get a new one? How much does that cost?
I'm getting a new one Wednesday. It's going to be several thousand dollars onto the Amex. Thank you very much. And you can't cover it with insurance because it's like, it's my own vanity.
No.
Like I did this to myself, you know?
Yeah. Well, they don't even cover COVID under insurance. So I wouldn't be shocked that they didn't cover this under insurance.
Exactly. And so speaking of COVID, you were talking about you shifted your focus during this time. And what you've shifted your focus to is what you're here to promote today, your beautiful documentary.
Yeah. And which is weird for like a comedian to talk about. Like
I love it. No, I love. Okay, so
I
1 week
full
till Doomsday. You did. Promote.
I really did.
Promote the full name and where to find it.
Yeah, so the documentary is called 1 week till Doomsday, and it sounds very dramatic. But then like January 6th happened and then we're like, okay, that works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we picked the name like back in October when like, you know, like Democrats are like, if Republicans wins, it's the end of the world. And then if Republicans were said the same thing.
Yeah.
So we're like, let's just call it 1 week till Doomsday. The trailer's out right now, but we're in the midst of shopping it to a few networks. And case scenario, if like the vices of the world don't buy it, we're just releasing it independently and putting it through the festival market in the summer. So either way, you'll see it in the summer,
Yes, you're going to see this film. This film, like just the trailer, like brings tears to my eyes because it's so special.
Thank you.
Well, you're such a special person to go out and like think to even do this. And he's not just attacking, like it's not a one-sided documentary in that you talk to both sides. You like trailer, you can see that like you're letting people have their moment to spew their, you know, in this case, I'll say idiocy, like,
bullshit, yeah, whatever you want to call it.
And you give them a little bit of a platform for that, and they're not knowing that you're a stand-up comedian, so you're making it hilarious in the process. And I just love that, like, there's that, but then there's also, you know, real moments, because the whole world was having this awakening. And the day whenever, you know, everybody was driving around town honking, whenever, you know, Trump got voted out, that was such a happy day. And like I remember looking at your Instagram, and I don't know if this was just your Instagram or if this is cut from the movie, but like you were really out there like jubilant in the streets and capturing this moment in history that is going to be written about in history books, but there's not going to be, you know, the essence of it might be lost in the history books. So what you did is you captured that in a way that I can already tell is just so beautiful and so special.
Well, I mean, first of all, you nailed it on the head. I mean, that's exactly kind of why we wanted to do this, was because we looked back in 2016. No one knew how the fuck that happened.
Yeah.
And then there was no history. There was nothing to, you know, recollect and understand what middle America was thinking before they voted for Trump. So we were like,
it's hard to remember how that happened, like what the sequence of events was.
All we have to reference it is just news. So we were like, okay, no one covered an election like this before. I wish we had some sort of time capsule to understand the week before this election. Mm-hmm. And then, so we hit the streets to kind of exactly do what you said, is like have this time capsule of literally the most important moment in American history and make it funny and relatable and moving and beautiful. And again, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, or like, even if you voted like Kanye 2020, you're still going to find something that's like moving or hilarious or whatever. I mean,
entertaining.
I'm a gay Canadian immigrant, and I'm talking to guys like Mega Hulk. or, you know, proud boys, or, yes, you know, like gangsters at a marijuana farm in Oklahoma. Like we did everything. And
it's the best. I love whenever you called your friend at the beginning, that scene, whenever you're like, you know, yeah, I'm going to go to Washington. Like, we're doing it. Do you want to go? And your friend's just like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I mean, that was a long phone call that had to be kind of cut down.
But, right, right. There was a lot more convincing.
Her name is Bibi, and she's like this hilarious, like, Latina Portuguese girl.
Oh, we love Bibi.
Who was just like unemployed, was like, let's fucking do it.
Yes. And, everybody needs a BB in their life.
Everybody needs a BB in their life. You know, the one that's like she's the kind of guy, she's the kind of girl that would go up to someone if they had a gun and be like, hey, can we talk to you? Because she doesn't. And she did. Like, they were filmed, All Gas No Breaks, who's that like really popular YouTuber.
Yes. Love him.
He does an interview in the documentary solely because BB walked up to him not knowing who he was.
Hilarious.
So, there were things that happened where it was so spur of the moment. And
crew to me. Is it just you and BB, or who's doing camera?
No, yeah. So no, it was myself, BB, who's this Portuguese hilarious girl, and then we have Andrea, we just call her Dre, and she's like this, you know, from Norway, beautiful blonde girl, and she was an actor.
I love that you're all immigrants.
We're all, and then the editor, that's the best part. It's like, we're all immigrants in this car. The editor is from England. Everybody is just like, because we all came to America and realized how fucked up it was.
Yeah.
And then we were like, okay, let's like document it and like show the real America, right? The one that we see, the one that's divided, the one that's, you know, insane and hilarious and but also really beautiful. So
yeah.
And then there was another guy who was the cinematographer. His name is Taylor, and he did a beautiful job. I mean, this stuff looks like straight out of Netflix. On, let me tell you, a no budget, like no budget.
It will be on Netflix.
I'm
predicting.
Cut the check.
Yes, after it runs the festival gamut, because it's definitely got that vibe to me. This film's gonna win awards because it's so honest. And I love now that you tell me you're all not from here. That's such an interesting take, because I'm sure that whenever you came to America, you had expectations, if you will, of what it was going to be. Like, take us through that versus what you quickly realized in really living here and coming.
Well, I had moved here just kind of after Hillary lost. So I was like, oh, well, shit, what am I walking into, right?
And you're relatively new. Yeah.
And then I moved to Boston when I first got here. Okay. So that was kind of a wake-up call. But, I mean, the America I thought I was going into was very similar to Canada, like a melting pot of all these ethnicities and religions and genders or whatever it might be. But kind of finding itself in this kind of confusing world we're in. I then soon started to realize that, like, when COVID really hit and we saw the Black Lives Matter protests come in the summer, that kind of hit me. And I was like, this country has been, like, there's been some boiling under, there's been a lot of people that have been suppressing their emotions, their, you know, white nationalism, whatever it might be.
Right.
And they're finally coming out. They're really coming out.
Was that a boiling point?
It was. And I mean, we were all here, you know, when the George Floyd protests kind of erupted for, you know, a really good reason. And it was, America was just, I was watching this and I was like, I didn't understand why I was here. I actually questioned myself. I was like, what am I even doing in this country? Like,
well, what about when everybody that's from here was saying, well, I'm going to Canada, like being from
here.
Well,
you know, I think that's
a cop.
Like, I think that's a cop out because it's a freaking cop out, because Canada, you're ignorant or stupid to say that this shit isn't happening in Canada. You know what I mean? The only difference is there's 30 million people versus 300 million, and there's less Proud Boys and less racists and less, you know, fascists.
Really?
But it's still the same.
So it is the same.
Proud Boys are only until like 2 months ago, Proud Boys in Canada were designated a terrorist group. Only 2 months ago.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, Canada still has racism. Just because there's, you know, more ethnicities and, you know, Toronto is an ethnic hub of the world and we take in more immigrants, it doesn't mean that people are not receptive to it.
Right.
I think there's a lot of hesitation towards, you know, Canada doesn't really have, you know, what does Canadian mean, right? It was an entirely indigenous population.
Tell
Native
us,
American.
Connor.
It was all Native American, and then, you know, settlers came in. So, I mean, to say, and it's funny because my cousin and my entire family have kind of broken apart because of politics. But, you know, everyone says, that's, well, they're sad. Not Canadian. And, well, what does Canadian even mean? What does American even mean, right?
Right. Whenever you came here in 2016, did you even know who Trump was, being from Canada? Like, is he as well known over there?
Oh my God!
Or were you just kind of like, that's
we
weird?
We loved him. No. I grew up watching him. Remember when like Joan Rivers was on Celebrity Apprentice? Like,
yes.
That was my like gay. That was like my gay fantasy, right? Like Joan Rivers winning Celebrity Apprentice.
That was the only season I watched. That was so good because she and
was
Melissa.
The only good season, right?
And Melissa.
And you had Annie Duke, the poker player, remember? Uh-huh. And Joan goes, you're a poker player, You're trash, darling, you're trash. And it was just like Jewish angst. It was like the best thing in the world.
But I couldn't stand Melissa Rivers at that time because, fun fact, she and I are Eskimo sisters. I actually had a dude break up with me and date her. And the funniest thing was, I was like 22 at that time.
No
like
way.
He went from me to like a 40-year-old woman, and like all our mutual friends would be like, "Yeah, he's going to Thanksgiving at Jones in New York." I'd be like, "Damn it, Melissa Rivers."
Well, don't take it personally. You know what?
It didn't last.
She's got a tooth.
Yeah, she's got more than me. She's working with her right now. Oh my God! R.I.P.
But no, we knew
my
who Trump was.
Veneer.
We, you know, we grew up on Trump. So,
but
we
were
loved
you
him,
scared? Because you had just gotten here. Like, were you?
Yeah,
like,
I wasn't
turn
too
around?
Scared because I was in pretty liberal, you know, cities. I also used to like be fairly conservative. So, you know, I understood that. Like, my dad was a police officer, so I kind of understood.
Oh, we love that.
We love that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was interesting dynamic. And I think, you know, Nikki Glaser, when we were in the car, when I first kind of met her, she asked me, she says, like, what trauma do you have to, you know, for being in stand up? And I said, well, I'm gay and my dad was a police officer. Like, that was it.
Wow.
So, you know, growing up in a very conservative environment and like, and then also being able to like have those conversations with him and shift his mindset was really important. And, you know, definitely
has his mind
comedy.
Has his mindset been shifted? I mean, is he?
Oh, he's like ultra liberal now. So I got him good.
We love it. That's always good whenever you can convert your family. You know, it takes a while. You have to work on them slowly over the years.
We lost a few on the track, but you know, what can you do?
I always joke about being from Mississippi. It's like, you know, the racism, it is dying out. Those relatives are going, you know, Meemaw's gone now. So we're already ahead as a state. Yeah.
but we got her recipe book, so we're going to be okay.
Literally. That's what we need. We crossed out all of the, you know, the racial slurs in the recipe book, and now it's good to go as well. No. that comes from, because I do have my grandmother's recipe book, like the Methodist Church 1985 Cook's Edition. And in print, it said like a jigger of whiskey or something for like one of the things. I'm like, jigger? That doesn't sound, I just feel wrong.
We'll put a pin in that.
Just means a shot of whiskey for everybody listening at home. It was an old timey term. But anyway, you didn't have that phrase in Canada.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. I think that's the Mississippi thing or something. I don't know where that came from.
So whenever you came out, your goal was what? Because you're a hilarious stand-up, but now you're doing documentary films and you're on the other side of things, which I know you're like job is in production too, right? So is that a goal of yours to kind of work both sides?
Well, you know what? I fell into TV. Like, I produce television on the side. I mean, and I do that full time. Not even on the side. I do that full time. But I mean, that's the stuff that pays the bills. Like, you know, yeah. We all know there's things you do for fun. There's things you do for food. I'm just pretty lucky that, like, you know, being a TV producer in the day is still great. Like, I still love it. I meet incredible people. I work on incredible shows. So, like, it's I'm happy to have a job that's still some semi in the relationship to comedy and documentaries and stuff. But
because you learn things that are invaluable being behind the scenes. I mean, I wish I had done that sooner, living out in LA and gotten out of the restaurants, because, you know, it wasn't until I started working at like a talent management company and seeing, it's like you're learning things about your industry from a different point of view.
Exactly.
You know, and not just like,
I mean, I would have never learned how to, I mean, we had to literally produce a documentary from the beginning to the end. Like, there's maybe 1,000 little bits and pieces that go into something like that. And I would have, if I didn't work at a TV production company, I would have never known how to do that. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, but the documentary came out of weird, I loved politics. So it was always kind of like a easy transition. I remember talking about politics on stage. So it's always kind of been enrooted into what I want to talk about. Cause if it's not meaningful, like what the hell am I doing? So
that's my
perspective.
Yeah. That's what I struggle with too, man. It's like, we want to make them laugh, but you want to also have heart, you know, you want to have a message. And sometimes I just feel like, I don't know, I'm just striving to be more authentic and less like, you know, I don't want to say things that I don't stand behind anymore, because we as comedians, you know, we're the truth tellers. We're the ones that are out here that are going to like bring this country back around with all the censorship that's happening and everything else and everybody being canceled. I mean, what do you think about that? We talked about that on this infamous car ride to the Improv. I remember there was a lot of talk about cancel culture, which was a relatively new idea at that time.
Yeah.
And now we've just seen all these comedians get canceled. I mean, what is your thought behind all that? Like, specifically, can I just bring one?
Are you talking about Chris D'Elia this week?
Yeah, but also this week, I want to talk about this, because did you notice that Sarah Silverman is receiving all of this flack for the 2007 VMAs because she really was going after a Miss Britney Spears? And now, as we know from the documentary, you know, Britney was under a lot of this pressure and people are kind of backlashing, saying, you know, Sarah was like one of the causes of that. And now what's been added into the story is Paris Hilton, because in that same set, Paris Hilton had just gotten her DUI and was about to go to jail. So Sarah Silverman's like raking her over the coals for that. And we just live in such a different society now that she is making the rounds on podcasts and she's apologizing to these ladies. I mean, you know, it's just wild, like, how what would fly at an MTV award show?
Yeah, I
is
mean,
now a cancelable event. So like,
well, it's good. First of all, that Sarah recognizes that. I mean, that was a long time ago. Let's just put that on the side
note
there.
So long.
So for instance, I know a lot of people were coming at JT, Justin Timberlake, kind of for that same thing.
That was wild.
So my perspective on it, which is probably a lot of people don't agree with me, but you know. Back in the Janet days, so when he, you know, that was choreographed, when he ripped off the shirt and the nipple came out, that wasn't supposed to happen. So there was no malicious intent there, guys. Like, so don't come after this guy for like trying to ruin her career, because that was never it. And then afterwards, when Janet, when the nipple came out and she got so much slack for it, or flack for it, he said, like, he acknowledged that, you know, women get the brunt of the shit and they shouldn't. So I don't think he's like completely negated like what he's done. I think it's more of a problem with society than it is a problem with just Justin Timberlake in general. But you know, when Sarah said that stuff, I mean, first of all, it's probably a writer at the MTV, you know, whatever wrote it for her.
Yeah, and see, we know that now as comedians, which is what a lot of the laymen don't know.
Yeah.
There's groups of people writing these jokes, you know, and the meaner
there's
the better.
There's groups of people writing exactly.
You're and trying also, to get airtime.
We didn't know any better. Like, we all made fun. I mean, we made fun of Lindsay. We made fun of Amanda Bott. Like, we all did it. So if you're going to sit there and say, well, she's canceled. So you never said shit about Britney Spears?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's bullshit. Because everyone criticized the girls starting out at one point or another. Was it right? No. Did we know any better? Also, no. Is it great that she's apologizing? Yeah, because she recognizes that it's offside. And, you know, I think that's noble. But I don't think she should be canceled for something like that, because
I don't think she will, because she's really like backpedaling with it this week and doing all the right things. So I think it's going to be fine.
Good.
But
yeah,
you know, Paris is like on top right now, and I just think she's like,
well, her documentary
bodies.
Was incredible.
she's like shutting down the school. Oh my god, I love it. Are you kidding me?
It
I watch
so
it
so good.
Yes, I watch it multiple times to perfect the impression.
I mean, you're pretty damn good at it.
Loves it. But yeah, we love Paris. And
I love that video of you in her doghouse or something. That was like the
yes.
funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, she was gonna let me move in there for a little bit. It's pretty big size. So,
I can guarantee there's no poo on the wall at her house. Let me tell you that.
There's a team of people to help out with that, you know. But I would, in lieu of rent, I would pick up some some dew. No, but what do you think of, because since we just got a little bit on the Britney topic, what is your take with that? Because I have a take with it that not a lot of people do. And
wait, what's your take? What's your take on it?
I'll test this out on the podcast. The whole Free Britney thing, I think maybe not Free Britney, because there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. You know, and she's gone before 6 or 7 judges that have decided this is for the best. And there's a sealed document that nobody has seen. It's sealed by the state of California. We do not know what that document contains, but whatever it contains is enough for her to be under this conservatorship for life. And that, like, that's not something to be taken lightly. I have a friend that is a therapist. We're going to be doing a clubhouse actually about this too in like a week or two, where people can ask questions, because she is like a psych therapist that does these holds on people and knows all about conservatorship. And she said, this is not something that you just put somebody on because they tried to kill themselves, okay? Even if they tried to commit suicide multiple times, they might not even get a conservatorship. Conservatorship's very hard. It's usually whenever you try to kill someone else. So that is what we may not know, because if you remember that night when she was taken away, when she was not well, she was in the bathroom for a very long amount of time with that baby with the door locked. And so there's a lot that like we don't know. So whenever everybody's like, free Britney, free Britney, it's like, I don't know. You know, like
my take, I mean, first of all, Carla, you're a ballsy lady to say that on a podcast.
I know. Well, we're going to do a clubhouse about it with this therapist that I'm talking about. And she can explain a little more if people have questions. But
so
it's really interesting, this whole thing. But again, conjecture, opinion, don't cancel me. This is my podcast.
Fully on Free Britney. That's my take. I mean, first of all, I feel like don't use the documentary as like a point of reference for like your sole purpose and reasoning behind what you think of her, because I think there's so much stuff that was missing.
Yeah.
And so many people that we didn't hear from. So, I mean, as much as I love the documentary,
and it
I
is
think
an
it
unauthorized
to, like,
documentary, we have to remember.
Well, I mean, most documentaries are unauthorized, so I don't know if that's the sole point. But I think there was a lot of like interviews that were missed, or their intentions were very one-sided. However, I do think, regardless of what you think on the Free Britney movement, she should be able to choose who the hell is responsible for her finances.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the dad is a shyster. Like,
the guy
is a snake in the grass. So I think if she wants to be in the, if she has to be in this conservatorship, can it not be the dad running? Because
why
he's too
it
close
be Jamie?
To her.
Yeah. I don't get why it can't be Jamie.
Something. I mean, this woman also like does a world tour, a Vegas residency, was on X Factor as a judge. Like, I think she has the capability to, you know, perform her duties and be a citizen. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's more in regard to those kids, and they do have evidence that Jamie,
but the thing
dad,
is, she doesn't even have
was abusive with the children. So it's like that right there.
The dad is bad news. Like, yeah. I don't know, regardless what you think, he's bad news. But I think, you know, also I love to see that Brittany's new boyfriend is like super supportive and there for her. And yeah. She see, I mean, I don't know.
He finally spoke out.
I don't think anyone. I don't think anyone should be in a conservatorship. You know, if they're dangerous, you know, and they do something, then they go to jail. But if they're not, you know, I think everyone's a free person, and I don't think anybody should be under a conservatorship. So that's
what if the trade-off was that she did something dangerous where she should have gone to jail, and they said, "All right, we're not going to make you go to jail."
Well, we would have never got Womanizer, and that's another story. I can't even get into that because Womanizer was my track. So I don't know. But I mean, Amanda Bynes, I think, is also in a conservatorship, and she was doing like much more like kind of off the cuff stuff. Like when she was like, "Fuck me, Drake," and like burning things on her driveway. Like there were much more things to like show, but then she was just off her meds and she was bipolar. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's wild. I didn't mean to speak ill.
Yeah, the Britney fans. Britney.
Yeah, I just lost a lot of Britney fans.
I just want to say on the record, on this podcast, I support the Free Britney movement.
Free Britney. I've talked, you can't say it. No, I've talked on other podcasts in support of the Free Britney movement, and now I talked to this therapist this week, and it's like it was blowing my mind what she was saying, and I think we're gonna have more of a discussion about it, but not if it's gonna cancel me, Connor. What the fuck? What am I doing? This has always been my worry since the start of our friendship, and it circles back.
No, I think you're fine. I don't think you're gonna get canceled over this. Trust me.
It's my podcast, and you know what? There's not much to cancel. We have no sponsors, and I'm doing it out of a studio apartment. Woo! Without a tooth. Okay, so Connor, what else? Tell us everything we can find you on. Are you tweeting?
I am tweeting. You know what I've started to use quite successfully, to my knowledge, which I didn't know I could use properly, was TikTok.
Yes.
So I post a lot of like the street interview stuff I do on TikTok, and you know, people seem to like it. So I'm on TikTok, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on YouTube. I'm on it all.
Spell it, because you have a weird name, sort of.
So for those listening, you can look me up on at Connor Malbeuf, ConnorMalbeuf. I feel like I'm at the doctor's office, like, how do you spell your last name? And they're like, and I'm like, Malbeuf, like Shia LaBeouf.
But, or like a bad egg. Didn't you describe it to me like as that?
I'm bad beef or diseased cattle.
That's what it was.
Whatever you prefer. Whatever you, so bad beef, yeah. Malbeuf is bad beef, diseased cattle, sick meat, dirty cow, whatever you want.
So you come from money.
I come.
What does that mean about your? What does that mean about your ancestors? They're known for that bad beef that circulated Canada.
They were cow farmers that like gave everyone like Lyme disease or something like that.
And then the name just stuck. Oh my God.
And then they were just like, well, what are we going to call them? Bad beef, because they killed the entire village. So,
wow.
Here we are.
And your family crest has a sick cow on it. That's, I can see it behind you there on the wall. That's very, you know, you're proud of it.
Oh gosh. No, I hope not.
Okay. Are you clubhousing? No. Can we talk about Clubhouse for 1 second? Because I'm kind of addicted.
Yes.
Are you on this?
I loved it at the beginning. I think it has a great purpose. There was one time I did go on and that someone was having a home birth. And
what?
I shit you not. I tune into this one room. You know when the notifications pop up and you accidentally click it and then you go in the room automatically?
Yes, I hate that.
It was a home birth. Oh, a woman was having a baby on. So then I was like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. So,
and she was describing it as it happened or what? or just screaming.
It was like screaming, and it was, and they were like, C-section over here. And I was like, okay, I'm out. I shit you not. So I think it's a little weird. However, you know, like I was on a Clubhouse room with like Tiffany Haddish, and that was kind of cool. So there's things where you can interact with like comics that even like bigger comics that even
people
I don't interact
in.
With. So
yeah,
people drop in. So.
That's how I met the iconic Perez Hilton the other night. That was fun.
You know what's funny is he followed me through Clubhouse too.
Yes, he's all about the Clubhouse, dude. I'm telling you, like the pandemic, say what you want about the pandemic, but we got this fabulous app now where we're just in the room with like freaking CEO, you know, tech startup CEOs, you know, Instagram, like creator people. I don't even know. Like the creator of the app followed me and I didn't even know who that was, but I guess that's, you know, amazing.
Is it the guy? I don't understand Paul, what the logo is. Like, why is it a man? Why is the logo a man?
That
like
was, that guy's just on Clubhouse. That's just like a user. They need to get a new
icon. Need a new logo because every time I go, I'm like, who's this man?
Yeah, you just get it confused with your Grindr. You're like, I don't want him.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm on a, I think, 2 months Grindr sober.
Yay! So, and that was like an intentional cleanse? Good.
It was an intentional cleanse. It was also purposeful because I was wasting too much time on it. And man, it's a great app, but I had to say goodbye.
This is his big announcement. This is how we wanted to end the show, actually, is Connor's letting you all know he's gone. Maybe he'll be back, but we hope
I will
not.
Be back. Just we wish him the best. I'll be back. Just a matter of time.
So you can find him on all the other apps that he mentioned earlier, but not.
Yeah, I'm not an OnlyFans. I'm not, just to clarify.
Me neither. Why? Was there a discrepancy? Did somebody try to copycat you? Because that happened to me too.
No, you know how sometimes like they make fake accounts on Instagram. So I'm not pretty enough for them to do that to me yet. But there was a moment where I thought about it. But I think it's a little.
So I got an email from them being like, "Click here to confirm your subscription," which means, your profile, which means somebody's trying to do it under me. I'm like, oh no. What ex has got some photos he thought he was going to be able to?
But
throw
you never
up?
Know, like. Maybe, like, you know how, you know, foot fetishes are a thing. Maybe, like, a missing teeth thing is a thing. You never know.
You know, maybe so. I could just get in there and show them how I floss.
That's a niche market. That's a niche market.
It was so good to see you today, Connor.
Good to see you as well, Carla. I'll talk to you soon, okay? And I love your bedazzled mic.
Yes, you got to have it.
I have the same one.
Thank you for being here for the hang.
I love it.
Love it. Bye. We'll